Sense Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Lots to talk about this week, but let's put the sort of ugly behind us and get right to the game debacle, whatever you want to call it, that was against the Rams.
Patty, we have to stop meeting like this, and I mean meeting after a loss. That was a tough one to take. The Texans, again, suffering from the turnover bug, and it bit hard with four cough-ups in the game. They got no takeaways, and they fell 38-13. Not the kind of outing they needed, especially at home against a team that they really should be able to beat, but Kansas City is going to get their attention this weekend.
Well, before we get to Kansas City, let's look at the highlights, the lowlights, and just wrap it all up in this week's Texans Rewind. All eyes are on Matt Schaub this week, who after four straight games with a pick six was looking for a clean game as well as the Texans' first victory in nearly a month.
Matt over the middle, got a man, Andre Johnson, to his right, 35-30, right sideline, out of bounds at the 26-yard line. First down, Texans.
And while Matt was interception free through three quarters, he did suffer a leg injury that took him out of the game, and unfortunately, the reaction from the crowd was not entirely positive.
And Schaub is shaken up. Now this is ridiculous. This is absurd as the crowd reaction to what they just saw.
I was extremely heated at that. I'm not gonna lie. But you know, they gotta go home and look themselves in the mirror. They're booing a hurt man, and that's fine. They can do what they do. Their fans, they can get emotional, but that's not how I was brought up. That's not the kind of man I am. You know, I gotta go home and raise a daughter and. You know, teach her right from wrong, and that's not something you do. I don't care how you feel about it, man. You don't kick him when he's down.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, you never ever want to see somebody cheer an injury. I mean, that's just unacceptable. So I sure hope they don't truly feel that way. That's a pretty tough life if you're cheering somebody else getting injured. And that's a man with a wife and kids, and it's a man who has given a lot of effort and a lot of work for this city. And I sure hope there weren't a lot of people cheering. I hope it was a very, very small minority.
I completely do not agree with it. You know, this is a guy that gives everything he has to the game of football, to the city, and does way more outside of this stadium, you know, that people seem to forget about. You know, he's a great teammate, a great person. You know, and when people react like that, it's barbaric.
Arian Foster had his best game of the season, racking up 141 yards on the ground and another 57 in the air, and that effort earned him the HCC Play of the Week Go Get It It's Yours honors for surpassing the 5,000 career yard mark. He's the 13th fastest in NFL history, tying him with Emmitt Smith.
Another cutback, right side, 30, 25, 20, 15, and Ogletree has him down across the 10-yard line.
Turnovers, penalties, and red zone issues once again plagued the Texans and resulted in the 38-13 loss and Houston's fourth straight defeat.
You know, I've been around a hard-working team, and I see the same thing. You know, I see that we're working hard, you know, to do everything we can do on Sunday. You know, but like I said, it's the little things that's costing us. It's been Christmas in late September and October. You know, and we've been giving a lot of gifts away. You know, we got to take that away and be Scrooge on it. You know, honestly, we have to turn that around and correct and do the little things that are going to make us get over that hump. You're going to have mistakes. You know, none of us are perfect. But when we do have those mistakes, man, they can't be elevated the way they have been.
You know, backs against the wall. You know, we're in these games that we're losing, and we're just, you know, they get out of control. But we still feel like we can play with anybody in this league. We just got to go back to work, go back to the basics, and you know, just ignore the noise outside and keep working.
When the season started, the Super Bowl playoffs, I mean, that made sense. Does it still feel like that's a possibility for you guys?
I mean, we're not mathematically out of it, are we?
No.
Didn't think so.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. We will delve a little deeper into that one as well as look forward to Kansas City when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. As promised, Mark, let's delve a little deeper into that one, starting with the quarterback situation. Matt Schaub played fairly well. Clean was what we were looking for. Unfortunately, the injury took him out of the game.
Patty, Matt Schaub had a high completion percentage. He did not turn the ball over. They were looking for that kind of performance from him. But the Texans stalled out in the red zone twice, settling for threes instead of getting sevens. And the Rams were able to capitalize when they had the football in the red zone. And that resulted in a deficit that they could not overcome. And eventually, Schaub gets knocked out of the game. We'll get to that in just a few moments. Yates comes in, throws an interception return for a touchdown. Fifth consecutive game, the Texans have done that. Another interception. They have a couple of fumbles on the day. You know, that DeAndre Hopkins fumble in the first half was a big one as well, because it snuffed out a scoring chance for Houston. Even a field goal there helps you out. So, again, turnovers killing this team. It doesn't matter how you get them. And when you don't get them on defense, it really hurts your chances as well.
So let's go back to the Matt Schaub thing for just a minute. A couple points I want to go into. Number one, just your reaction on the radio. I listened to your call. The fans, some of the fans, not all of them, some of the fans reacted with some cheers, obviously did not sit well with anyone.
It didn't sit well, Patty, and it's not the way you want to behave if you're a fan of this football team. Of course, criticism is warranted in professional sports. I mean, you pay good money to see the game and all of that. You have an opinion, that's fine. It's fine if you want to see another player in there. But if somebody's injured, clearly it's the wrong thing to do. And, you know, Matt Schaub, I think, really took the high road. He called out some of the fans, but only when asked by me on his Monday show on the radio about the situation. And I think Matt Schaub, being the member of the community that he is, the man that he is, understands that, hey, this is going to happen from time to time in professional sports, and let's just hope we can move past this and he gets back out on the field soon.
Can you give us some updates on his condition, where he is now?
Yeah, well, with Schaub, you look at a foot, knee, leg, whatever it is. I mean, Gary Kubiak said a lot of different parts of the leg. They're very unspecific about his injury. But he's walking around a lot better than he could be, considering the way it looked when it happened. Gary Kubiak even said, we got a little lucky. And Matt echoed that. So let's hope he can get back out there. But right now, they're preparing two quarterbacks to play against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's talk about one of them, T.J. Yates. He comes in and does, again, the inconceivable, throwing the pick six, making it five in a row for the Houston Texans. Really didn't do himself any favors.
Yeah, it was not a good performance by TJ. And the last couple of weeks he's played, and I think if he had played a whole lot better, maybe you wouldn't have the situation you have this week where Gary Kubiak says, I got to get both quarterbacks ready to play. Now, even if Yates had played great, you still have to get Keenum ready, because he would be the backup should Schaub not be able to go. And you have to assume, well, not assume, but be ready in case Yates would get knocked out. But if Yates had played great, I think Kubiak would have named him the starter from the get-go. Now you have a bit of a competition, if you will, this week. We'll see how it plays out.
You know, there's just so many places I could go here, so many things to talk about. But let me just have you wrap up sort of two topics as we wrap this segment up. Arian Foster looked good. And he seems to be getting stronger each and every week. But that was about really the only bright spot we saw was the running game. Defense, special teams, red zone specifically, just a lot of struggles, more so than just the quarterback.
Well, red zone defense, yes. They're not happy with their performance there. Yardage-wise, they looked great, okay? They're the number one defense in the league, but they know that they have to make the key stops in crunch time, and they have to be able to force turnovers. They know they have to do that as a defense. And also, when you look at what's going to happen next week, they have to be able to get good play on special teams. Obviously, no turnovers, but it would be nice to get the occasional big play on special teams to help out the rest of the cause.
All right, we have to take another time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll sit down and visit with tight end Garrett Graham. Stay with us. Earl Mitchell is your Whataburger Player of the Month. He, along with Joe Mays, who nominated him, were at the Whataburger in spring this week, signing autographs and posing for pictures. The nominees for October are up on the HoustonTexans.com website. To cast your vote for next month's player, just log on and make your choice. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, tight end Garrett Graham. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, let's just first just kind of talk about kind of you this season. I mean, obviously you've been having a great year up to this point, but then with Owen going out, you're kind of the guy that at that position, that an important position for the Texans that everybody's looking at.
Yeah, it's you know, it's been good so far this year. We've been getting into the end zone a few times, Owen and I. You know, unfortunately, with Owen going out, my role has kind of picked up a little bit, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to contribute more in the games coming up. But we'll also have Ryan Griffin, who's able to step in and do some things. So hopefully we'll be able to hold down the tight end position until he gets back.
Yeah, and I talked to Ryan after the game against the Rams, and of course he gets his first and his second catch of his NFL career. Kind of exciting to see that. But this is something that sort of we talked about even in training camp, was you guys kind of as a unit, and Owen kind of being the leader out there, and you guys are a close-knit unit, kind of learning from each other, feeding off each other, and it goes all the way down to a young kid like that.
Yeah, since I've got here, you know, the tight end group has been like that. So, you know, Ryan kind of, you know, felt that when he came in, I think, and you know, he's picked everything up real well, and you know, obviously Owen's you know, been doing things the right way here, and you know, he's a pro in every way of the game, so it's a strong group.
Let's talk a little bit about the game against the Rams. Obviously, did not go at all the way that you guys wanted it to, but from the tight end, from a receiver's perspective, can you just kind of take us through kind of what you saw from Matt Schaub? Obviously, here's a guy, you know, coming in, trying to play a clean game, and at least he was able to do that.
Yeah, it was good for Matt, you know, be able to get back out there. You know, we moved the ball well, you know, and unfortunately we had a few turnovers, but, you know, hopefully he'll be able to, you know, get back out there this week. You know, got banged up a little bit. But, you know, it was good to see Matt get back out there, you know, throw some good balls and get back to it.
Not knowing at this point if Matt will be the starting quarterback this weekend, and not really knowing if he can't go, whether it's going to be TJ or whether it's going to be Case, how do you guys, as players on the receiving end, how do you prepare for not knowing which quarterback that you're going to have?
They'll both be practicing, both be getting a lot of reps. But, you know, we trust Coach Kubiak to put the best guy out there for the job. You know, we have faith in both of those guys. And it's not, you know, just the quarterback position that obviously needs to improve and needs to be good on Sunday. You know, it's everybody. It's not just a one-man team. So looking forward to getting back out there on Sunday, and it should be fun.
As you start to break down and look at film of the Kansas City Chiefs, you look at their defense, what do you see watching them that you need to take advantage of or to do in order to be successful this weekend?
They're very good pass rush. You know, I think they're leading the NFL in sacks right now, if I'm not mistaken. Good in the back end, play a lot of man coverage, so we'll need to win versus man. And I think, you know, if we need to run the ball, get the ball in the Arians and Ben's hands. And I think that's one thing that our offensive line will, you know, kind of take to heart. You know, put the game on their shoulders and go from there.
You know, as a tight end, we always think of you guys, especially in this offense, as sort of more receivers. But it's also your job. And how much pride do you take in being able to block and to have success in the run game?
Yeah, that's one thing we work hard at. You know, that's part of being a tight end. You know, it's fun to block too, to see Arian running down the field and getting in the end zone. So that's one thing we try to improve on every year. I think we have, and so hopefully it'll pay off.
All right, well, before I let you go, I'm going to get off the football field a little bit. Tell us a little bit about you. What do you do off the field in your spare time?
I love to golf in the off season. You'll usually find me on the golf course if I'm not, you know, training over here. Yeah, that's, besides that, I'm, I don't know, taking my dog to the park occasionally and taking my wife out to dinner here and there.
Just kind of the average stuff.
Yeah, just your average guy.
What kind of dog do you have?
Boxer Lab.
There you go. All right. Well, good luck to you this Sunday, and thanks for stopping by.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Let's take a time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, Mark Vandermeer will be back. We'll talk about the Chiefs as well as mailbags. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, by Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans, by Texas Emergency Care Center, any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are, and by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle as we prepare to talk about Kansas City. Before we do that, some injuries that will be affecting this weekend. Why don't you get us caught up on who's in, who's out?
So sad, Patty. Daniel Manning is on injured reserve. He joined the team prior to the 2011 season. Even in that year, he had a broken bone in his leg, and he was able to heal up within 4 weeks and get back out on the field in time for the playoffs. Well, now he's got a significant knee injury that's going to keep him out for the season. Already, Owen Daniels is on injured reserve, designated to return. You can only do that with one player, so Manning is out for the year. And to me, that's really sad because he's not only a good player, he's such a good guy in the locker room for this squad. Also, A.J. Boye, undrafted rookie corner from Central Florida, he's out for the year with a hamstring injury on injured reserve. So they re-signed Elbert Mack, a veteran they had in camp. At corner, he's going to help in the secondary. And also, they elevate Mike Muhammad to the 53-man roster. He was doing some good things in camp with his team at linebacker.
All right, let's talk Kansas City. Obviously, you have to start with their defense.
You do, Patty, because they have talent all over the place. They had 10 sacks last week. Everybody's talking about that. Tamba Ali is a good player. Justin Houston, a really good player on the edge. They run a 3-4. They force a lot of turnovers, and the offense doesn't turn the ball over. So what you have here is the opposite of the Texans situation. You have a team that's taking really good care of the football. They're very tough at home where it's so loud. Matt Schaub told me he once played there in a blowout in Atlanta when he was the backup. He came into a lopsided game. There was still loud in the second half. Everybody's still in their seat with a lopsided score going on. It's going to be a tough challenge for the squad.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because there was so much made of the Seattle crowd setting the Guinness Book of World Records, and then here it is, Kansas City last week. Their decibels go even higher. It's even louder. So, you know, do you think that that could play a part in who Gary decides to start a quarterback with? You know, let's say everybody thinks, oh, put Case Keenum in there for a mobility standpoint, but from a tough place to play, maybe a little experience might be a better thing to put at Arrowhead.
And T.J. Yates has started a playoff game in this league. He had 7 starts 2 years ago. He played in the last couple of games. He played at San Francisco 2 weeks ago. San Francisco is not Arrowhead Stadium in terms of volume, but at least he's been out there. If Keenum plays, it's his first ever NFL action. It's going to be a tough place to do that.
All right, and then let's just look at, to go on the other side, the Chiefs offense.
Well, with the Chiefs, you have Alex Smith at quarterback, and again, he protects the football. Look at his numbers. There's nothing like Matt Schaub's numbers, but what Alex Smith does is he plays ball control. He's got a good running game. They don't ask him to do too much. They don't ask him to, quote, win the football game for them. If you get a lead on this team and Alex Smith has to start throwing it around the yard, I really like the Texans' chances because then they can get the pass rush firing, get some turnovers, that kind of thing. But the way the Chiefs have been playing with leads and in close games, they protect the football. Alex Smith has been perfect. Jamaal Charles runs the ball well. They do have some good pass catchers and a decent offensive line. They've been getting the job done.
All right. Guess what time it is?
It's time for Mailbag, presented by the Texas Lottery with the Houston Texans scratch-off game.
All right, question number one comes from Kara. Kara wants to know, speaking of the injuries, with Danielle Manning out, how does that affect the secondary?
Well, it affects them a lot because now you have some interesting things developing. Gary Kubiak said earlier in the week, Brandon Harris could see some action at safety. I think they're going to mix it up at that safety spot a little bit. Shiloh Keough can play. Of course, DJ Swearinger can play. You have Eddie Pleasant on the roster. I think they're going to kind of do it by committee. And, oh, yeah, Ed Reed, maybe it's time for him to step up and make a huge play. Again, I'm not going to kill the defense here because what the defense needs is what we talked about. The offense to get a lead, and then they can really get active and get some takeaways, and then Reed can make his presence felt in that department.
All right, question number two. Christian would like to know what's up with the offensive line. Obviously, there's been some injuries there, but they just don't look quite right.
Well, they looked good run blocking last week against St. Louis, and I think they're coming around in that department. Pass protection has been an issue. But what have the Texans been in? Major deficit situations where you almost have to throw on every down, and they've been a little leaky on the offensive line because of that, and also because they're banged up. Remember, Dwayne Brown had that toe problem. He missed 2 games with it. I don't think Dwayne Brown is quite feeling himself, all-pro 100%. Brandon Brooks had the toe issue. I don't think he's feeling that good. So, you know, Wade Smith coming back from the knee, remember in the preseason, he came back a lot sooner than a lot of guys would have. I think they're a little nicked up, and it might be affecting things, particularly with them facing these big deficits and obvious passing situations. It's tough to protect the quarterback.
And Taylor would like to know, with the quarterback situation, could they, should they, do they ever actually activate 3 quarterbacks?
I don't think they're going to do that. And a lot of people thought Keenum might be active last week. People, I mean, media fans. There was no way they were going to do that because as long as you have 2 healthy ones, you'll go into a game like that. These activations are precious spots. especially if you get into injury situations through the course of a football game. So I don't think there's any way they activate three quarterbacks.
All right, great stuff. Must win? Is this a must-win game?
I think a must-win is one where if you don't win it, you're going to be knocked out of playoff contention. But let's put it this way. If you go three games below 500, not good. So if you want to stay in that AFC South race, neck and neck with the Colts who played Denver, let's hope they lose. In many ways, it is a must-win.
All right. Great stuff, Mark. Thank you so much. That's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you tune in Friday night for Texans Weekly, and then in Kansas City 2 hours before kickoff, Mark and I will be out there for Texans Countdown Live. And after you watch the game, flip back over to Fox Sports Southwest for a live one-hour post-game show, Texans Wrap. Have a great week, everyone.
Loaded this truck with some great players, man. Receivers, running back, and tight ends, dude. It's our day. We take care of the football. We play for four quarters, man. We play with enthusiasm. We play the way the Texans can play, man, and we finish the game.
Let's go, smash mouth football. Let's go, LB's on three. One, two, three. LB!
Here we go.
We had a rough few weeks. Make up for today. Run the rock. That's our motto every week.